I said, go ahead and mark your songbooks to 9:22, and we'll be singing that here shortly. 9:22. Well, as I think we all know, this is a good time to definitely come together, and it's the Lord's Day, so we're to come together and look into His Word and put the things that He would want us to have in our lives, in our lives. And as far as the lesson this evening, as I said, I've preached this one before. I was back, I think, in toward the end of 2013. Kind of fortunate, I guess, on my part, here about, how long has it been, 6-8 months ago, our computer got a nice virus in it that basically wiped out all the files. And just be careful about opening emails that appear to be something they're not. But anyway, normally in doing these lessons, I have printouts of them, so I had several available, and I kept telling Julie, I'm going to do this one. And then I'd say, no, I want to do that one. Then I'd so I was back and forth between two, actually three at one point. I said, no, I'll just stick with the one I started with in the first place. So you've heard this before, probably, several of you. Some of you haven't, because I think this was before Craig actually arrived. So Sherry and Don, I know, have not heard this particular lesson. But that's not even the point. Doesn't matter if I'm up here, Ken's up here, Craig's up here, Mark's up here, Al's up here, any of us that get up and preach, it doesn't matter who it is, as long as we're putting forth God's word the way we should be, and we're doing it the way God would want us to. So we say this on occasion, but we probably don't say it enough. If there's anything you have a question about, let us know personally, one-on-one, and we will definitely talk about, you know, what was said, and if I'm at fault, then, you know, I need to make correction. And obviously that should go the other way too. So this evening, I want to talk about a passage from the Old Testament. So you can go ahead and turn back to the book of Joshua, because that is actually where we're going to be pretty much most of the time tonight. And I've got my old Bible here, so, which is almost totally falling apart on me. But in the book of Joshua, we find a story, but it's not really a story. It's something that God put in front of us for our learning. We find something about the sun standing still. And I think kind of what got me on going back to this lesson to begin with was something that just happened recently that I think was totally blown out of proportion. I guess others may disagree with me, but because God's hand, as we know, is in everything that we see around us, and even maybe more so in what happened here recently with the eclipse. Now here, it was just, to me, an odd, strange day when it came to that point in the day, just the way it looked outside. But I guess other places, including where Aaron's at, down in Murray, they had almost a total eclipse. So, you know, the sun was basically blocked out. Have a guy that works for me at work that said something about, I think he had it turned around. He thought it was the opposite, which wouldn't make any sense. The moon had to be in between the earth and the sun to block it out, but he had it totally messed up. So I kind of corrected him there, not that I'm any authority on. But the point is, those things happen rarely. But what happened in Joshua has never happened since, and never happened before that. But we'll get there. The story's told of a young boy growing up in South Carolina, and he wanted a summer job. So he had a family friend who operated a fireworks stand. So he hired this 13-year-old young man to man the stand for him. First, the boy was really thrilled because, hey, he had a summer job, you know. What's better than for a 13-year-old than dealing with fire, blowing things up, and making money in the process? So to him, it was the ideal job. But it didn't take him long to become a little bored with the job. It seemed that day after day that he had people coming up to him at his stand and saying, hey, what's this one do? What's that one do? How about this one? And it just, and I can see that, you know, I work in a business establishment, I can understand that. After a while, he just wanted to scream, you know. He wanted to tell them, hey, every one of these blows up. They go up in the air, they make colors, and what happens? They blow up. Leave me alone. Buy it or don't buy it. As this young man grew older to be an adult, became a father, guess what happened? He started hating fireworks. I can't imagine that myself, but I'm sure if that happened to you, you'd probably be in the same boat. What was the reason? Well, he got familiar, very familiar, with all the fireworks that he sold. And something that really should have, to him, been extraordinary became something that was very common. Something that should have been awesome became something that was really commonplace. And because of that, he began to have the feelings that he despised that particular thing. So I want us to think about this evening the fact that if we're not real careful, the same thing can happen to us when it comes to our Christianity. We can all read about what God's done for us. We can all read about what God can do for us. And we can see what God has done in our lives. And at first, we're awed by that. It's amazing to us. But after a while, just like the fireworks, what used to make us say, ooh, oh, wow, that's amazing, becomes so commonplace that we're no longer amazed at the awesomeness of God. So tonight I want us to turn our attention to Joshua, as I said, chapter 10, because there is that amazing story that shows the true awesomeness of God. But before we read this particular passage, I want each of us to think of what it is that God is calling us to do, or what God is calling you or I to be, that seems almost impossible for us right at this moment. For some of you, it may be taking more responsibilities, whether it be at work, within the church. For some of us, it may involve reconciliation with someone in our family, a neighbor, a friend. For some, it might be dealing with an addiction or a state of depression that seems like there's no way we can climb out of. When we're faced with those impossible moments, we need to be reminded that our God can do amazing things. So in Joshua chapter 10, let's start in verse 7 of that chapter. I'll read verses 7 and 8. We'll kind of make our way. It says, so Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you. Think about what's said here. Joshua hadn't even went into battle yet. And God's already telling him, you're going to win. You're going to be victorious. How many times has that ever happened? I was trying to think about that, and I thought, well, during the Persian Gulf War, you know, we're told by the press and by the military people that there's no way. Saddam Hussein doesn't have a chance. You know, he's going to get wiped out. He may have the fifth largest army in the world, but he's done for. But did they actually know that for a fact? No. But with God telling Joshua here, there was no question. Because really, from God's perspective, the battle was already won. So continuing in verse 9, it says, "So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal, and the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. And it came about as they fled from before Israel while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword." So God, as we see here, can do more in a moment with his power than we can do in an entire lifetime of trying to do things our way. Verses 12 through 14 say, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel.'" So what do we see here? We see, I think, one of the amazing things that God can do. And it required Joshua to do something himself. And the response because of that was because of the faith of Joshua. Verse 14 is still true to this very day. The sun has never stood still before or since that day. I believe that the same God that made the sun stand still for Joshua wants to show his power in the life of every Christian who's willing and who's ready to fight that spiritual warfare that each one of us should be engaged in. And I believe God responds when a child of God is bold enough to say, "God, I want to live my life in a way that leaves no doubt in others' minds that it's you who's fighting for me." And that's how God is glorified in our individual lives and within the church here. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." One thing that I've learned about God is that if the size of the need seems too great for us, it's the right size for him. So don't be afraid to ask God for the big things, even if you've caused your own problems in the process, because God is always there. Our text today has even more meaning when we consider kind of what I was alluding to there. Think about the background leading up to this scene in Joshua chapter 10. And you see that Joshua actually put himself into the situation that he was in. He got himself into trouble. Back in chapter 9, he'd made this unwise alliance with some people that he shouldn't have ever done that with. So he got himself into the situation that he had to deal with here. And I think we can all relate to that. Have you ever needed God to get you out of a situation that you got yourself into? Maybe you're saying, "God, I racked up this massive debt, put it all on my credit cards because I was trying to chase after happiness that I thought money could buy. But I really want to get my life in order so that I can help do the things that I should do for others." Or you think, "God, I married this guy or gal without knowing them very well, and things aren't working out exactly the way that I thought that they should. Could you bless this marriage and help us to work those things out? Or God, I haven't been the best example as a parent. Now my kids aren't the way they should be, and they're far from me. And I need your help to bring them back so that we can be happy again. If you've ever found yourself needing help to get out of the messes that you have caused, then you can definitely relate to what Joshua is dealing with at this point in Joshua chapter 10. And I'm really thankful that we serve a God that's able and willing to help us and turn our mistakes into something positive. So here Joshua's fighting a battle, as we said, that he shouldn't have had to fight. And what's God doing? God's bringing him the victory. But just as he's about to finish off his adversaries, the sun starts to go down. How do you fight in the dark? Well, back in that day, it would have been a little tough. Now they've got all these night vision things and all that, but he didn't have that. He didn't have that luxury to be able to continue the fight. The enemy's going to get away. And so Joshua, I'm sure in a moment of desperation, prayed for something that had never happened, never been seen before, never been done before. But through his faith, God answered his prayer. God answered the prayer, sun stand still. Sounds like a big favor to me. How about you? I mean, he's taking care of something here for Joshua, and Joshua was the one that got himself in those circumstances to begin with. But understand that God is not insulted by a big request. Chances are that the size of your request is not intimidating. If it's not intimidating to you, it's insulting to God. Because what we ask God is a direct reflection of what we believe about his capabilities, his capacity, and his character. And so I wonder, what is the sun stand still prayer that each of us needs to ask? Now, I think it's important too to understand that we can't abuse this particular kind of thinking. I don't want any of us to walk away from the lesson thinking that we can ask God for anything and that we'll get it taken care of. We can't go around picking and choosing in our lives things that we want or want to do, and God's going to make those happen. It's all within his will. 1 John 5:14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." But what I want to remind you of is that God has the ability to do great things in your life. He's willing to make the sun stand still in each of us' lives. But don't get too excited. One thing I want you to see from this example is that even though God provided the victory, Joshua had to do something. He had to fight the battle. God just doesn't give us things without any effort on our side. Joshua, in fact, as we saw from this passage, had to fight all night long. So if you're eager to pray for God to make the sun stand still in your battles, then you must be willing to fight the entire night. It's not that we can earn God's love. It's not that we can merit his grace and favor. But when God brings grace our way, he's looking for our faith and obedience in return. And just because we might pray sun stand still does not mean that all of our problems are going to go away. I don't think it's that easy. We can't even consider it being that easy. That's really what we're looking forward to in heaven, but not in this life. It's not the way that the earth works. Sometimes we might pray for the sun to stand still and the sky just keeps getting darker and darker and darker. You may ask God to make your marriage better, but your spouse becomes even more of a jerk. You may ask God to heal a loved one, but what happens? The cancer continues to spread. Kind of as an example, let's turn back into the New Testament, into the book of Mark, and we'll look at a passage there in Mark chapter 5. not necessarily going to read this entire passage. Between verses 21 and 42, it revolves around a man by the name of Jairus. And this guy was an official in the synagogue. Jairus, as you see in this passage, had a 12-year-old girl, and she was very, very sick, sick to the point of death. So this guy kind of had a position. I mean, he was up in the state of being an official in that particular capacity. And he humbled himself, and he came to Jesus, and he asked him for him to touch his daughter. This couldn't have been an easy thing for this guy, I'm sure. And this kid for sure was in a situation where she was pretty much on her deathbed. And I want to point out that this is not to say that the need here was not a necessary need. This guy needed and wanted something to happen, because obviously he was pretty close to his daughter, and I think all of us would be. So he goes to Jesus. He asks Jesus to heal her. And Jesus agrees to go heal this man's daughter. And I'm sure that Jairus was really, really relieved at that point. I mean, his prayers were about to be answered, and his hopes were high. But what happens? As they were on the way to Jairus' house, this woman cuts in line and asks to be healed herself by Jesus. I think all of us can say we don't do very well with people that cut in line. They kind of, I'm sure, get a look and sometimes some not so good reactions from people. I think if you've ever been to a restaurant, if you've ever been to a sporting event, if you've ever been on the freeway, when somebody cuts you off or cuts in line in front of you, you get a little miffed at it. And I think Al's talked about situations with him on that. But it's just something we don't look highly upon. So imagine how Jairus felt when this lady cuts in line. I mean, here's his daughter who is basically on her deathbed, and this lady has a problem with a hemorrhage, is jumping in front, and he's like, she just has a hemorrhage. My daughter's dying. Why is she so important? Well, what does Jesus do? Being the person that he is and who he was, he takes care of this lady. And right after that, the exact news that Jairus feared comes to him. He says, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter's dead. Jairus' world, I'm sure, came crashing down. I mean, he had laid his pride on the line. He'd went to Jesus and admitted he needed help. And everything was off. But was it? Jesus ignored the servant's message, and he told Jairus, just believe. How many times has this happened to us? We've finally gotten up the nerve to ask Jesus for help, and just as things seem to be going the right way, someone else steps in front of us, and it seems that God switched his allegiance, and he's quit blessing us, and our problems have gotten worse. It's then that we can become discouraged, and Satan, of course, enters the picture and asks, why even bother? Why bother trying to make my wife love me more? Every time I do something nice, it just backfires. Why bother trying to reach out to my kids? You prayed for them over and over again, and it doesn't seem to make any difference or do any good. Why bother trying to get my life organized? It seems that it just gets more and more chaotic as I live it. Why bother trying to live a religious life? It seems like the world around us just keeps getting worse and worse. Do any of us relate? Why bother? So just as Jairus has a choice to make, so do we. On the one hand, Jairus' servants are saying, why bother? But then Jesus says, just believe. Trust me. You see, God always looks for the positive. Man sees the situation as bleak, but God sees the situation as a chance for a victory. Man sees death, God sees resurrection. as powerful as God was in Joshua and Jairus' situations, God is fully capable of handling our issues as well, whatever they may be. Even if it seems that there's no hope, God can resurrect it. When some tragedy comes into our life, there's something new that God can do for you. There's something better that he can do for each of us in our situation. But we have to learn to hold on to our faith, because every time the enemy is right there telling us, just give up, don't bother. I want you to notice in this story how calm Jesus is. Everyone is crying and mourning over this little girl's death, but Jesus doesn't see death. He sees an opportunity for resurrection. He puts everyone out except his closest apostles and the girl's parents, and he tells the girl to arise. Understand this, God is not worried about your situation. God's not freaked out about what's keeping you up at night, because God is in control of all things. So why are you worried about a battle that God's already won? Why are you mourning over a situation that God has the power to resurrect? Even if the sun goes down, he will be our light. And even if the situation doesn't get better, God will use the very thing your enemy meant to tear you apart with, and he will build you up as a great testimony to the glory of his name. So which will it be? Why bother? No, just believe. We don't have to understand everything about God to have faith. We don't have to know every way that God is working in our lives to believe and obey him. We just have to recognize and attest to the awesomeness of our God, the power that he has, and the promises that he's made. Just believe. If there are those who believe in Jesus and recognize that they need his cleansing blood, we ask that you take the steps that are necessary to put yourself in a right relationship with God. Or if there are any here that need the prayers of this congregation, make those things known as well as we offer the invitation. Whatever your need this evening, we ask that you make your needs known as we stand and as we sing.